Deuteronomy this morning, chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. As we looked at on Wednesday night, this book, this fifth book in what is known as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, were kind of sacred to the Jews, of course. They considered the first five books special. They made special references to the first five books, and it was an important piece of their scripture because they wrote the Torah. They called it the Torah. The same five books was known as the Torah, and the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of the Jews would quote the Torah constantly, and they considered the other books important, but not nearly as important as these first five. And in the fifth book, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is essentially giving a farewell speech to the children of Israel. He's reminding them of their journey thus far. Their journey so far had only been, though, through the wilderness. After they were released from bondage in Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't have to, but they did. And the reason that they wandered rather than doing something else was because of unbelief. And they had an opportunity, as you know, to go into the promised land very shortly after they were released from Egypt. But because they would not believe that God was going to take care of them in that land of promise where there was giants and trouble and all that, they relinquished their right to go in. That older generation refused, and therefore they had to spend the rest of their days in the wilderness. It's a sad story in a lot of ways, and Moses is recapping a lot of it in this book. And it's an interesting highlight for Moses to go over, I think. But he's telling them some things that they need to know, and I think for us today, we need to hear some of these things again. But I'm going to focus on one particular area today, because Moses reminded the people that there was a time there in the wilderness where they were deceived by a guy named Balaam. Remember? He tried to curse Israel and couldn't because God wouldn't allow him to. But Balaam did convince Balak, the king there of the Moabites, the king there that was trying to get Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He convinced Balak to do something that would cause the children of Israel to be deceived and really to begin to dip into idolatry and immorality. And it worked, as you know, and 24,000 people died as a result of that. Moses reminds them in the first part of this chapter of that truth. But what I want to focus on is what he goes on to say. He says in verse 2, first of all, he says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it." He says, "I don't want you to change the story. I don't want you to soft pedal it or perhaps water it down. I don't want you to change the word or add something to it. I want you to tell it just like it is. I want you to keep, you see, this exactly the way it happened, that you keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Moses says, "I want you to do exactly what the word says, and I want you to keep the story exactly the way it was." That's a good word for some cults in our society. Don't add to it, don't take away from it. Anybody who does that, by the way, is a cult, folks. Plain and simple. If you add to the word or take away from it, add another testimony or whatever you want to call it, it's a plain old cult, period. Now, verse 3, Moses says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor," again, that time there where Balaam had tricked the people, "for all the men that followed Baal Peor, them the Lord hath destroyed among you. 24,000, as I mentioned earlier. But this is what he says, and this is what I want you to note today. But, verse 4, you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. You are alive this day because you decided to follow after God, Moses reminded those people. You didn't go for it. You didn't do that thing that was being presented to you. You didn't get tricked. You didn't get deceived. You hung on. You clave. You literally just grabbed a hold of the Lord and wouldn't let go. And you're alive because of that. And guys, there is a definite, isn't there, benefit from obeying God's word. There is a definite benefit from doing what the Lord says. Here we see, obviously, that they were alive because they did what the Lord said. That's a biggie. You know, for most of us, that's right up there on the list, isn't it? Being alive, that's a huge thing. And the people were alive to this day, Moses said, because they listened to the Lord rather than listening to Balaam and his tricky stuff, you see, which is what is always presented to us every single day, isn't it? You can decide to go after the deception, or you can cleave to the Lord. You can hang on to him and live. And whenever I do what the word says, I have life within me. There's a liveliness around me. And when I don't, when I disobey what the word says, what involves that kind of behavior? Well, what did they involve themselves with when they disobeyed God? Well, they died. There was death. There's always a death in me, around me, if I disobey. However, the benefit of obeying God's word, of course, is that there's life. I have a liveliness. And you know this is true. Just sin. Well, I'm not going to tell you to sin, but I don't have to tell you to sin. You'll do it anyway. But the next time you do it, the next time you sin, see how you feel. You know how you feel. You feel dead. There's just kind of a, ugh, you know. But when you do what the Lord says, when you could have done that, when you could have sinned there, and you don't, what happens then? You go, ah, boy, I feel kind of alive today, right? So obviously the benefits are huge, you see. And when you experience life, it's because you've been doing what the Lord says. When you experience death, it's because you haven't. Real simple. Now, God's word reveals something to us, and Moses brings this about, because if it's important to have life, and life comes from obeying God's word, Moses says here, because you clave unto the Lord, verse 4, then you're alive, every one of you. And he says, behold, verse 5, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you possess it. Keep therefore, he says, unto them, for this is your wisdom and understanding. Your wisdom and understanding comes from the word, and God's word reveals his wisdom to us. So if you want to know how wise God is, read his word, obviously. That is our wisdom, and we need his wisdom to live our lives in such a way that please him, obviously. You all know this. This is not new to you, but stay with me for a minute here, because this is something that's really important. The Old Testament use of the word wisdom is a little different than what we might think. It literally means the right use of knowledge. So in other words, it has really very little to do with the knowledge, so to speak, that we might place upon that, the importance of the knowledge. It places more importance on what you do with the knowledge. So wisdom, in the Old Testament sense, as we're reading here, literally has to do with what you do with what you know, not just what you know. You see, a lot of times we say, oh man, that guy's so smart. Man, he's just really wise because he knows so much. Well, the Bible would disagree. You see, he can know a lot, but if he doesn't do the right thing with what he knows, then he's not wise at all. In fact, the Bible says men professing themselves to be wise become fools when they don't acknowledge God and his supremacy over us. Paul says they're really foolish. And a wise person, as God puts it here, as Moses speaking here and God inspiring him, says, hey, the wisdom that I'm talking about is the knowledge you have and what you do with it, not just knowing it. Not just having that knowledge and knowing something. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I got that down. Oh, yeah, I understand that. Hey, listen to what I know. It's not wisdom. It's only knowledge. And knowledge by itself, the Bible says, does what? It puffs you up. You know, it just makes you bloated spiritually. So knowledge by itself isn't the key. It's wisdom that is using knowledge in the correct way and doing what you already know and doing the right thing with it. That is wisdom. So this is important, obviously, to have this down. But why, you see, and how do I apply God's wisdom? How do I really place what I know in the knowledge realm, how do I really place it into action in the right way in my life? How do I apply God's wisdom? Well, Moses said here, right there in verse 4, because you clave to the Lord, you listened to God, you obeyed his word. And so the way that you apply the knowledge that you have and make it into wisdom is by obeying what God's word says. It's actually doing the word. That's wisdom. Otherwise, folks, it's just puffed up knowledge. Right? Okay, you're on the same page. Good. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We obey his word. And why is it so important? Okay, so that's how we do it. That's how we apply wisdom, is by obeying his word. But why? Why is it so important to obey God's word? Well, verse 5 says, because the statutes that Moses taught them. He says, I taught you statutes and judgments that the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land. Now, the first thing, if you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. The reason it's vital for you to obey God's word, to apply wisdom to your life, the first reason is because of what Moses says here in verse 5, and that is, because if you do, if you obey God's word, apply that wisdom, then you are going to take territory. Obeying God's word is going to cause there to be a territory taken around you. The place that you live, the things that you partake in, will be affected for the kingdom. You see, we would call it bearing fruit today. Back then, in Israel's day, they were literally going to go into the land and take territory, right? They were going to possess the promised land. For us, we call it bearing fruit. We're fruitful. We do things with our lives that actually bear fruit, that affect others, you see. Now, in John chapter 5, John chapter 15, you can flip over there if you want. But in John chapter 15, Jesus says this, and this is a key for us, of course, the New Testament version of this whole idea. And if you don't get this down, you're going to be confounded, I think. I think your life will be confused and mixed up and weak, and you'll be struggling constantly with this issue. But Jesus said this in verse 1 of chapter 15 of John's Gospel. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus says, here's the thing. When it comes to this area of importance upon obeying his word, Jesus says the same thing that Moses told those people back then. And that is, obedience to the word causes there to be territory taken. Notice what Moses says back there in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He says there in verse 5 that because of the statutes that were taught, even the statutes the Lord gave me, that you should do those things. Where? In the land, whether you go to possess it. So you're going to take territory, but it's going to be as you do the word. In other words, even going into the territory would have been an obedience to the word, correct? If they didn't know the word, they wouldn't know they were supposed to go in. Therefore, they wouldn't have gone in. And no territory would be taken, obviously. Jesus is saying the same thing. Obedience is how we abide in him. And don't make any mistake about this, folks. Just agreeing with the word or agreeing with the study that's going on or saying, yeah, that's right. I get it. I understand it. Hey, agreeing, understanding the word does not mean you're abiding in Christ. Many people fail to understand that. They think if they hear the word and agree with it, they must be doing it. You're not doing it until you're doing it. That's profound, isn't it? You're not doing the word until you're actually doing the word. And the problem is people think, oh, yeah, I'm abiding in Christ. Well, are you? Because Jesus said, if you abide in me, then you're doing the word. You're doing what I say. You're doing what the word teaches, actually. And so in order for us to bear fruit, to take territory, you see, then it requires that. It requires obedience. And I know some of you are into this, taking territory these days, now that we've been in this part of Scripture for so long. It's now kind of embedded in your thinking. Got to take territory. It's all we've been talking about at church. Take territory, you know, and you're trying to figure out how you do that. Got to take that place at work. Got to take the school, you know. Got to take this whole territory. Now, it's true. It ought to be something that we are a part of, and we ought to be doing those things that really, truly cause there to be fruitfulness in and around us. But the way that you do that starts with your obedience to God. It doesn't start by you saying, okay, boy, I got it. I'm going to go, you know, do something. I'm going to go take some territory right now. You know, well, it starts with you saying, Lord, I need to obey your word, don't I? In the quiet, private place in my heart, I need to be obedient to you first. And that's going to cause me to be abiding in you. And if I abide in you, then there will be fruit born. You notice Jesus said, just stay, abide, stay connected. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Just stay connected to me. The way you stay connected to Jesus is to do what he says. So whenever you read the word, just say, that's what I'm going to do. Whenever the word says, hey, don't do that, don't do it. Whenever the word says, get up and do this, get up and do it. Well, is it that simple? Yes. It really is. We make it complicated. See, we say, I didn't really hear that. Or, he didn't really mean to really do that or not do that. Do you think God's kidding around when he says do something or don't do something? I think sometimes we do. At least we want to think he is. Oh, he's just kidding. He doesn't mean it. Yes, he does. You see, and the way that we abide is by obeying his word. Now, this is interesting. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, stay connected, stay, you know, abiding in me, and you will bear fruit. In other words, you can't help it. And this is the great part. This is the good news. You're trying to figure out how to take territory. Well, the word tells you, abide, obey him, and you will. How? I don't know. He doesn't tell me how. He just tells me, you will. I will. If I abide, I will bear fruit. And it's kind of like a tree out in your backyard that has fruit on it occasionally. You know, the season comes and here comes the buds and here comes the fruit. And you go out there and you pick your plums or your apples or whatever you're growing, right? There's fruit on it. But it just kind of grows on the tree, doesn't it? Do you ever look out in your backyard and see your tree straining or really trying to struggle to bear fruit? Do you see the tree running around the backyard? You know, gathering the hose up and the fertilizer and saying, man, you forgot about me. And you run around doing, no, it just stands there in the yard. And those branches that are connected to the trunk, they just simply bear fruit as long as they're connected. Now, if you go break off one of the branches and throw it on the ground, is it going to bear fruit next season? No. Why? Disconnected. It's disconnected and it won't bear fruit. It'll wither up and just die, right? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. And listen, folks, don't mistake this. If abiding in him means I obey his word, and that's what keeps me in that place of abiding, and that will produce fruit, then don't mistake this. Not obeying his word, disobeying his word, will cause me to not abide and to dry up and wither and not bear fruit. So I can tell, can't I? You can tell, can't we? When I'm dried up and withered, what have I been doing? Disobeying. Oh, wait a minute, you say. This isn't going anywhere. Oh, it's going somewhere. You just don't like where it's going. You see, the way that I can tell, the way that I can tell how I'm doing, and this isn't to say, oh, brother, he's going to get legalistic here and start talking about rating ourselves. No. Jesus said, check the fruit. We can be fruit inspectors, folks. We're not to judge, but we can inspect. And I can inspect my own fruit especially. And Jesus says you ought to. Check the fruit. See if there's fruit budding out. See if you've got fruit coming off of your life. If you do, then I can tell you for sure, then you have been obeying and abiding. If you have withered branches, if you look shriveled up and you're just kind of laying there in the yard, and there's no fruit, then I can tell you for sure, you see, because the fruit, you see, doesn't lie. You can't, you know, you could run out there and put some fruit beside that withered up branch, but nobody's going to be fooled by it unless they're really dumb. It won't bear fruit, and it won't bear fruit because it hasn't been abiding in the vine. So, just take a quick inventory occasionally. Say, how am I doing? Well, I'm pretty withered up. Okay. Been disobedient. Disconnected, you see. I'm withering. I'm dying here. If I've been living and obeying and walking with the Lord, then my life's going to be fruitful. Just the way it is. And you won't have to try. You'll find yourself just meeting people, talking with people, running into people saying, hey, how you doing? You know, good to see you. And then you start talking about the Lord. And before you know it, you know, somebody's kind of going, man, you're a nutcase. And you go, yeah, I am. And you know, but they see joy in your face like Jesus said here. You know, he said you're going to have joy and it's going to be obvious. And pretty soon people are going to go, man, what's the deal with you? And you can share Jesus with them. And lo and behold, believe it or not, people will start being affected by you. And all you've done is been obedient to God. You're just walking with him. You're just obeying his word. In the private parts of your life, guys, at home and you know, at work and just everything you're doing. You just seek the Lord and seek to do what he says. Now, that's obviously an important part of this. But secondly, we are witnesses when we are obedient. Touched on this just a little bit, but I want to kind of expound on that a little bit. Verse 6 says, keep therefore and do those things, keep the word and do it. Why? For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. The things that I do that obey God, the things that I do that are really truly in obedience to his word, they will cause there to be an effect on other people because, as Moses told the people, the other nations, the other people will see your faith through, listen, through your obedience. Nobody can see my faith apart from that. Do you understand that? If I'm not obedient to God, you're not going to see my faith. Well, you'll see lots of other things. You'll see my sin. You'll see my anger. You'll see my frustration. You'll see all kinds of things come from me, but you will not see my faith except through obedience. When I obey God, that's when you'll see it. When I get down on my knees and pray and talk to the Lord, even though I'm going through something really tough and I say, Lord, I'm submitted to you in this and I need you just to take my life where it needs to go. And I know I'm struggling here, but Lord, you're faithful. And I just simply obey God even though I'm having a hard time. People will see my faith. They'll see that there's wisdom and understanding, like the word says here. They'll see that. You see, Moses says, when I do the commandments, as he told them, that's the wisdom and understanding that the nations see. They don't see wisdom and understanding in the word or in Christianity, period, apart from this. This is the part that blows my mind. It's too much for me sometimes, I think. Wait, Lord, this is too much responsibility for me. You're saying that the world, the other nations, the other people around me, they're going to see wisdom and understanding because I obey your word? Yep. That's how they'll see it. They'll say, wow, there's wisdom and understanding in you. Why will they say that? Because you're obeying God's word, and there's wisdom and understanding in his word. And when they do so, they'll see that. It's our wisdom, it says here, and understanding in their sight. When they see it, right? When they see the wisdom and understanding that comes from obeying God's word, then what happens? What do they see? The statutes. They'll see the statutes. They'll hear what the word says when they see in your life, in my life, what that really means. When it's lived out through me, it's seen in me, then they will be willing to hear from me. Someone once said that, you know, they were handing out tracts, you know, down Hollywood Boulevard, which is a good place to hand them out. Handing out tracts to people, you know, and this one guy took a tract and says, I'll just watch your tracts, to the person that handed it to him. And of course, the person said, fair enough, you know, wow. In other words, hey, you can hand out a tract, you can blurt out a scripture, you can quote a psalm or two or ten or whatever. You can do all kinds of stuff, folks, but I'll tell you something that's really uncanny. They won't listen to you. They won't listen to me until they see me, until they see the wisdom and see the understanding that comes through my obedience to his word. That's when they'll hear from you. And of course, we know what that means, right? What comes from hearing the word of God? Faith. So, in other words, if I want to make an impact in this world, then I need to be obedient to the word myself, thus showing the world around me the wisdom and understanding of God, which in turn then will cause them to allow me to speak statutes, the word, and they will then be able to hear. You see, Jesus was effective when he was on this earth, wasn't he? But remember what he said there in John 15. He says, keep the commandments as I have kept them. I kept the commands of my Father. In fact, Jesus would say, I only do those things that please the Father, right? So he gained audience in this world, didn't he? The common people heard him gladly. The people were amazed. Even the people that were sent out by the Pharisees to try and spy out and see what he was saying, they came back and they said, we never heard anybody talk like that. Wow. You know, they spun their heads trying to figure him out. And he would say things and they go, whoa, he speaks with authority. Do you speak with authority? Do I speak with authority? Only when I'm obedient to God's word. Oh, this brings up a whole bunch of questions, doesn't it? Like, man, I tried to witness to that guy, you know, and he just blew me off. Never doing that again. Oh, I've heard that before. People say, well, I'm not going to do that again. I mean, I tried to talk to that person. They didn't even listen. And this understanding, I think, has eluded that person. I cannot do that convincingly. I am not in authority to speak such things unless I have been obedient to such things. People see my faith through my obedience. They see the wisdom and understanding of God through the way I behave in accordance with his word. And then when I am seen in that light, when the wisdom and understanding is in the sight of the world around me, that's when they'll hear from me. They'll hear the statutes, and when they hear, they'll have faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But they won't hear it if I'm not doing it. That's why Moses makes it very plain. Keep therefore, verse 6, and do them. What? All the things I've told you. The commands, you see. All those things. And because that's your wisdom. That's your understanding in the sight of the world. That's how they see it. The world loves to call us hypocrites, us Christians, don't they? They like that. They think it's an out for them. Oh, sure, I'm going to be a Christian like you and be a hypocrite. And they think, well, that's the end of that, you know. And, you know, I always tell them, hey, you know, you ought to come to church because you'd fit right in with all of us hypocrites. Because, hey, you're right about that. But don't mistake this, Mr. Worldly Person. The world's full of hypocrites too. But isn't it a shame that they have a case against us? Why? Because what they see so often is not the wisdom and understanding of God. And it's not to say that people aren't ever to see us fail. But guys, that ought not to say, okay, that's my life then. I'll just show them failure after failure. No. Show them wisdom and understanding by keeping God's word. When you fail, confess, repent, be restored, and move on. But here's the thing. Don't let that become your life. Failures happen, but they're not to be your lifestyle. Now, people will see, they'll hear, and faith comes by hearing. And when they hear the word, they'll be glad. They'll be able to receive. Well, most people will be at least willing to hear. I remember a story of D.L. Moody. Most of you know who he is. About 115 years ago, he was in his heyday. He was a preacher, you know, the founder of the Moody Bible Institute and all that. You know, great preacher. He never got his ordination as a real minister. He never went to school or anything like that. But he had a huge ministry, right? preaching and teaching the word. And he was preaching in his church one Sunday, and he was teaching on Ephesians 5 about men and women and their relationship in marriage. And of course, he shared both perspectives. Hey, men, you need to love your wives like Christ loved the church, and wives, you need to be submissive. Well, there was this woman sitting in the congregation that day. And she was just giving him the death look. When he started talking about women being submissive, wives, be submissive to your husbands, she was just giving him the eye. And after church, the back door, when he was greeting the people, this woman, rather large woman, with a flowered dress and a big hat, she marched right up to D.L. Moody and she said, "Mr. Moody, that was the worst teaching I've ever heard in my life. And if I were your wife, I would put poison in your tea today before you took a nap." And Moody looked at her and said, "Madam, if you were my wife, I'd drink it." They'll be willing to hear you. Some people will hear you. I like that one. But isn't it true? The whole world's trying to find wisdom and understanding, aren't they? They're looking for it. They think. They're trying to find something out there that makes sense or that can put things together for them because things seem so unraveled and so confounding all the time. And they're trying to find wisdom and all the rest. But folks, you can show them understanding and wisdom through your obedience to God's word. And it's important to do so. So it's bearing fruit, yeah, taking territory. That's important. That's an important reason why you should obey God's word. And to see that people are really viewing God's wisdom and understanding the way they ought to. And then they'll be willing to hear the statutes. But thirdly, it molds your family when you obey God's word. It shapes your family. Verse 9 says, "Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently," again, doing the word, "lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But listen, teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach them, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, 'Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" Moses says to these people, it's important that you do what the Lord says because it will cause you to go and possess the land, take territory, you'll bear fruit. He says it's also how the world's going to see wisdom and understanding. Godly wisdom and understanding comes through believers who walk with the Lord. But he also says it's real important because it's going to raise your children up to be godly. People always ask me, "Well, how do you teach your children? I mean, what are you supposed to do to teach your children?" Well, Moses tells him, verse 9, take heed to thyself. Take heed to yourself. Parents, obey the word. You know, if you want your kids to, you need to, right? I mean, it's just real simple, but take heed, Moses said, to yourself. Live right and don't forget God's word. Don't forget it, verse 9 says. Okay, I remember. I got scriptures memorized. I haven't forgotten God's word. You forget it when you don't do it. And listen, I find one of the best ways to remember God's word, to remember what God's word teaches me and tells me constantly, the best way I can think of is to reshare it, to teach it. Teaching God's word after you've learned it keeps you from forgetting it. Do you know that? In other words, if you'll share that with your kids, if you'll share what you learned with your children, you won't forget it, first of all, but they'll get it, second of all. And the thing is, if you're not learning and obeying and doing and walking with the Lord, then guess what? Kids aren't going to either. They follow after you so closely. They're watching everything you do. Oh, this is such a convicting thing, isn't it? They watch every single thing you do, and they listen to everything you say. And that's a scary thought for some. They will listen and watch, and they will imitate. And Moses says, this is important. The reason I ought to obey is because my children will as well. I'll be teaching my children. And parents, don't leave this necessarily just up to the Sunday school teachers, by the way. Oh, that's an important thing, and we want to provide that at the church and all that, but most of the education, godly education, should be done at home, in your homes, bedtime, morning times, whenever you get an opportunity, you see, to give them godly instruction. And if you will obey, if you will heed to yourself, then you won't neglect that. If you don't, you will. It's that simple. Moses says it's important for you to do the statutes, to do the word, in other words, to obey God and live with him in that way so that your kids will be taught that. You see, just like the world will see wisdom and understanding through your obedience to God, so will your kids. The problem with Christianity so much of the time is this. Parents live two lives. Adults live two lives. They have church life and they have home life, and the kids are confused. We go to church, and then we come home, and it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, we go to church, and everybody says hi and smiles and says, God bless you, and then we come home, and they use God's name in another way. Ought not to be. You teach your kids by how you obey. I teach my kids how I live and what I say and what I do, you see. Back then, by the way, in the days of Israel's release from bondage and their walk into the wilderness and through the wilderness and into the promised land, during those years and on through Jewish history, the kids, by the way, the Jewish children, it was expected for them to know, listen, they knew the story of the Exodus. They could tell the whole thing because their parents rehearsed it in their ears over and over again. And those little children could tell you exactly how their parents were delivered from bondage out of Egypt. I want to ask you guys something, you parents especially today. Do your kids know how you've been delivered? Do they understand how you've been delivered from bondage? Could they tell that story? They ought to be able to. They ought to know how you were delivered, how you got saved, and how the Lord changed your life, and how he changed your whole heart and turned it around. And this is heavy, I know, but it's so important. God's word is telling us again and again how important it is to obey. For fruit, yeah. Taking territory, absolutely. so the world can see for witnessing, yep, so they can see wisdom and understanding and then hear through our lives how faith works, true, but for the sake of the children, for the children's sake, obey God. Live for Him because they are watching. They're looking on, you see. I was thinking about my kids. All my kids are here today. I'm so blessed. All three of my children. They all walk with the Lord. I'm so grateful. But I need to share something with you. And I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. I was thinking about my kids. I was thinking about Daniel and Amanda and Jacob. And I was thinking, you know, they're all just walking with the Lord. And they're doing well. They're just doing great. You know, and I thought about Daniel. And he's going to be in ministry here. And I thought, that's so cool. He wants to be like his dad in many respects. And I'm proud of that to this degree. He likes to play guitar like I do. When he was little, I taught him how to play drums. Now he's better than I am. He does things like I do a lot. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. I used to be a drunk, a derelict. I could not function through my day. And if I still was, what do you think Daniel would like to be like? He'd like to be like his dad. And for God's grace and mercy, I will forever be thankful and grateful because I'm no longer a drunk. I'm no longer a derelict in that way. And my kids aren't either. What do you want your kids to be like? Start being it. Be it. God is faithful. He's worth obeying no matter what. But good grief. Look at the reasons He gives us to be obedient. Look at the reasons, folks. They're important. It's kingdom stuff. This is huge stuff. This is eternal things that God says, this is so key for you and me. Obey God. Take territory. Let the world see Jesus through your life. And for your kids' sake, live it out. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Word that's so rich and so full. And Lord, how I pray today that it would minister deeply into our hearts in such a way, Lord, that we would be affected. And Father, I pray as this study got rather heavy, that You would minister even now to our hearts and cause us, Father, to realize that obedience is not to be toyed with or to look at as an option, but that it's too important. There's too much at stake for us not to be obedient. There's too much at stake when we disregard Your Word. And I just pray today, Father, that You would do a work in the lives of us who are here today. Change, Lord, our hearts. Break them if necessary. That we would truly, Father, be turned around and let go of some stuff that perhaps is causing us to be impotent in bearing fruit, withered and dry. That the world doesn't see wisdom and understanding in our life. And our kids just don't seem to know where to go or what to do. Forgive us. Restore, Lord, our sanity spiritually. That we would walk with You and obey Your commands. It's so key. It's so important. Help us, Lord. Bless us. Continue to gird us up. And by your word, Lord, as we obey it, we'll see these things come to pass. How awesome that is. How true the promise is. And we thank you for it. Bless this day, Lord. Bless the rest of our afternoon and evening. And bless the Sunday night fellowship tonight, Lord, as we get together and have the word and worship and communion here in the sanctuary. I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to mold and shape our lives. We commit them to you. We ask that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.